You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome into the Inside Carolina podcast. If you're listening to this podcast, you know what just happened at 10:20 a.m. on Thursday morning. The news broke that Roy Williams is retiring from the head coaching position at UNC after 48 years of coaching, spent as an assistant at UNC, as a head coach at Kansas, and of course, at North Carolina. Just massive news for anyone who loves and follows UNC basketball. We're going to get right into it. We have Sherelle McMillan here from Inside Carolina, and of course, Greg Barnes, our beat writer here at Inside Carolina. This is a reaction podcast, and we're going to talk everything Roy Williams and just kind of get an instant reaction, perspective, some analysis. I'm going to go straight to Sherelle. Sherelle, what's the background of this decision? What can you tell us about kind of how this developed, and what do you know right now regarding Roy Williams and his decision to retire?
I think you can say from the people around the Smith Center, it comes as not just a surprise, but as a shock. Over the last week, and I guess you can start with the loss to Wisconsin on Friday. You know, in the postgame, he just talked about how, you know, college basketball was a little bit different. And of course, I think everybody's going to go back now and try to find signs that this was coming. But I don't think he had made that decision. If he had, he hadn't told anyone outside of, you know, maybe his children and Wanda, his wife. But, you know, the name, image, and likeness is coming. You know, the transfer portal, we've seen there's 1,100 people in that now. College basketball is just not the same game that he grew up coaching and that he, you know, coached for, you know, the majority of his life. So I think that's part of it. But then, you know, after that happened, he started rallying the troops. He had these meetings with players and, you know, they lost a couple guys, but they were able to really kind of fend off a mass exodus from the roster by him, you know, making concessions to parents and talking to them and everything. And, you know, heading into the weekend, it seemed for us like business as usual because it was okay. They've called a transfer portal. They've talked to a high school recruit who they like a lot. And, you know, he's going to rebuild, retool and come back. And then this morning, me and Ben were talking and, you know, some information started to pour out about, you know, this potential meeting this morning. And, you know, we checked with our sources and the sources confirmed that there was a meeting, but it's April Fool's Day. So it's like, you know, yeah. How much can you really, you know, we get these every year. And about, I would say 10:05, you know, we got some texts from people that said, this is real, this is happening. And, you know, about 15 minutes later, the announcement crossed on Twitter and in y'all's email.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I've kind of been waiting for this for a long time. You're like, you're wondering, like, when's it going to happen? Where are you going to be? You hope you're not traveling. You hope you're in Chapel Hill. You hope you're available to work. Because this is the biggest UNC sports news of the last, 18 years since Roy was hired. Greg, you wrote the story. Your initial thoughts, the background, and what you think about this decision and where UNC stands right now.
Yeah, well, immediately my mind goes back to the end of the Duke game when yep. Roy Williams, first time ever, bends down and kisses center court before he walks off after the senior speeches. And I asked him about that after the game, and of course he kind of dismissed it, just saying that it was really just significant for you, the unique nature of this year and not having a crowd there for most of the year and not – you know, having the young guys really experience what North Carolina basketball is about. But I mean, maybe in hindsight, he was already kind of thinking in that regard. Well, I don't know. We may not ever know the answer to that, but yeah, I think North Carolina fans, let me say this first, need to be appreciative of what's happened in this program over the last 60 years, really. It's rare, incredibly rare, for a program to have somebody like Dean Smith come in adversity, turn things around, and build a program the way it should be built from the ground up, and run it for 36 years. It's something else for his protege to come home, 6 years later, and pick up where Dean left off. And I think you can make the case that Roy, during his peak time, probably had a better stretch than Dean ever had. And for him to win three national championships and for all the success that this program has enjoyed, you just don't see that anywhere. And so it's a very special thing. And we knew this day was coming, mm-hmm. for sure. However, Roy's told me a number of times, and we had this conversation during the NCAA investigation, which was really hard on Roy, that Dean always told him he retired too early. He got fed up with the media. He got fed up with how things were changing and got out a bit too soon. And Roy didn't want to do that. And he always kind of took that to heart. And with the NCAA investigation being so difficult on him, he was not going to leave the program in the midst of that. He wanted to make sure there were better days ahead, not that there was a valley coming. And personally, I took that as, okay, well, he's going to want to do what Dean did, because what Dean did was he handed off a Final Four team to Bill Guthridge to make sure that was a seamless transition. I assumed, based on what Roy had said about the NCAA, is that he's probably going to do the same thing in terms of wins and losses. And that's why I thought that wasn't even really an option this offseason. I thought it was going to be another year or two down the road once UNC was back to being a consistent top 25 team with a chance of making a deep run. But as Sherelle said, a lot of things have changed, adding COVID to the mix. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of things have taken place, and we'll get more details from him later. But you can see how all these things piled up into making him make this decision at this point in time.
If you see us looking down or looking away, Sherelle's phone is on fire. We're reaching out to sources, reaching out to players. I'm coordinating with our national desk. It's kind of a wild, day in media, because it's just very overwhelming with this, the magnitude of this announcement. I'm going to go through some stuff here. I probably should have done this at the top. Roy Williams was 903 and 265 in 33 seasons total. That's a 77.74 winning percentage. At UNC, he won 485 games with 163 losses in 18 seasons. That's a 74.8% winning percentage. Of course, the three national titles, 05, 09, 17, nine Final Fours total at Kansas and UNC. He had, five at UNC. 74.5% winning percentage in the NCAA tournament. Went to six finals. He was 3-3 in finals games. Let's see what else here. In championship games. Oh, in national semifinals games, he was 6-3. I mean, just tons of numbers here. So many Final Fours, so many NCAA tournaments. It's an unbelievable career and record here. I'm going to give you my thoughts. I think the game is changing, and everyone sees it, everyone knows it, and y'all both stated on that. The transfer stuff, the name and likeness stuff, it's so different now. And the volatility of this season with all the transfers, all the movement, I think is just kind of – it's hard to stay with it. And he was probably fed up with that. And it's just different game for a different type of coach. And, look, he's not young. He's 70 years old. So he's got a lot of life to live still. And sometimes – go ahead, Strel.
Yeah, and I was going to say, man, like my dad is 71. Uh-huh. And when I think about my dad trying to lead national basketball program, I'm like, how? Like, my dad's retired. He enjoys, going to church and, going home. Like, those are kind of the two things that he does. So I'm like, how is this man, feel good enough to fly around the country and go see players and kind of the grind of practice every day? I'm sure – that is, that's a heavy weight. And to do that for so long, it's such a high level. It's not like he coached at, Southview High School. He coached as a head coach at Kansas and North Carolina, the two bluest of the blue bloods that you can find. The origin of basketball is at Kansas. He is directly traceable back his lineage to James Naismith. So that mm-hmm. is a heavy weight to carry, and to carry that for 30 plus years, I'd imagine, he's just like, I'm tired.
I was going to say, man, he loves golf. Now he's going to play a lot of golf. He's a member at multiple country clubs. He's got young grandkids. And those moments, those grandkids growing up, you don't get those moments again. It's a one-time thing. So he's got a house in the mountains. I mean, he has a lot of things to do, and sometimes it's not worth it dealing with all the BS he's had to deal with over the course of the last couple of years, especially now with all the movement. the Walker Kessler decision to transfer, people leaving for the NBA earlier than it has been in the past. I mean, think about some of his best teams. Those guys stayed for 3 and 4 years. Now you've got guys leaving after 1 year, and that's becoming commonplace. The game is changing. All right, so let's go. You know, we got the reaction here. Greg, were you surprised?
Yes.
Okay. Sherelle, were you surprised?
Very much so.
Okay. Did you think there's a sense of me that, you know, you want, he thought he would go out on top, you know, try to get to another Final Four, try to leave the program in a really good place. I wonder what went into that mentality. Any thoughts on that, Greg? Like, why now as opposed to other than the stuff we already talked about?
Yeah. The only thing I can think of there is that, as Sherelle said, you know, they got through the player meetings, and it seems like after some shaky waters there to start, that maybe he felt as though he got things settled down, and that there's a good core returning. Because as we've talked about, yes, you lose Kessler, which is a blow, and you lose Sharp to the NBA. But if Bacot returns and Caleb Love returns along with the other pieces, you've got a solid foundation. I mean, people tend to forget that these kids are freshmen. A lot of them are, and they're going to take significant strides next year. So just in that standpoint, I think they'll be a lot better. And if you can pull in a couple extra guys, then I think you're dealing next year. I'm sure that went into his mentality a little bit, just making sure that, okay, are we in a position where I can leave and I'm not screwing the program over, because the program means so much to him. And so I just have to assume that's kind of where he got to. And then the great question that everybody's going to want to know is how long has he been thinking about this? And Roy has always been, I'm thinking about the present. I'm thinking about preparing for this next opponent. I don't want to talk about the opponent 2 games down the road. And that's just how he's wired. So I'm interested to hear what he has to say with that. But I do believe he probably finished the season, got through these meetings, and then said, okay, now wait a minute. What's my next step here? So I would not be surprised to hear that this was a decision he came to, you know, in short order, you know, maybe even in last week.
Yes. I mean, the press conference after the Wisconsin game was very emotional. It almost sounded like he had kind of reached that decision then, but I think you're right. I think the turbulence the last couple of weeks maybe pushed him to that decision. You always think about the court kiss against Duke as well, because I mean, he lied to our face if he didn't know then, which is kind of crazy to think about. Sherelle, your thoughts on that? I mean, I think it's kind of with the changing of the game now, it's probably a kind of a good end and an opportunity for someone else to kind of take the lead that can adapt more to the changing game.
Yeah, you know, and I want to be careful too, because he hasn't, this is for everybody to know, we're recording this before his press conference. Mm-hmm. So maybe he comes out and says, you know, I just talked to my wife and we're just tired. You know, maybe it has nothing to do with the transfers and stuff. We can infer that because he's kind of hinted at it. So I just want to be careful, because I know I said that might be a reason. So I want to be careful with the speculation there. But yeah, it is a new age in college basketball. It is a new day. And everything is so much different from even what it was 10 years ago. Like we had Dewey on a podcast on the beat with Greg the other day. And he was just talking about how different it is, not just from, you know, 1995, but from 2008, how different college basketball is, the players, what their motivations are, social media, how everything combined has just kind of made that an issue. So I think all that is probably something in his mind. And then, frankly, the last two years have been hard. I mean, not this past season, but the year before last was his worst as a head coach, the worst he's ever experienced. And then you follow that up with a season that shows great promise, you know, in, I would say, June or July. And then, you know, you have a global pandemic, which causes all kinds of issues. And then the one-time transfer portal. So I don't think, in my opinion, it probably wasn't one thing. It probably was all these things stacked on top of each other over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And going back really to 2015 and in the heart of the NCAA stuff.
When we come back, I want to talk about a reaction to Roy as a coach and what he means to y'all, what he means to me, what it means to this program, his accomplishments, and then what's next for UNC. We'll kind of talk to Greg and Sherelle and see what they can tell us about their thoughts on what's next, you know, potential movements and who comes in to lead this program and just general thoughts there. Don't have too much information now, but certainly these are two of the most plugged in guys on UNC basketball. First, I'll talk to you about Johnny T-Shirt real quick and johnnytshirt.com. all Inside Carolina subscribers use the 10% off discount code to get 10% off your Johnny t-shirt purchase. A great shop right on Franklin Street, right in Chapel Hill. Very local. We want to support our local companies. So Johnny t-shirt and johnnytshirt.com. Guys, if you're listening to this podcast, imagine we have some new listeners. Rate, review, and subscribe to the Inside Carolina podcast. That helps us. Rate it. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a little review. And hit the subscribe button. That really helps us. We're bringing you content almost every day now on basketball, football, even some baseball, reactions, news, special guests, interviews. So rate and review to the Inside Carolina podcast. And we'll be right back with Greg and Sherelle on what's next for Carolina basketball and the meaning of Roy Williams to Carolina hoops.
What's up, y'all? This is four-time NBA champ Andre Iguodala.
Yo, and this is his best friend, the Ohio State legend, Evan Marcel Turner I.
Every Wednesday, we drop a new episode on our show, Point Forward.
We're talking basketball, business, and all the culture in between.
From locker room stories to some basketball analysis from those who've been in the game.
Now, it is a dude averaging 29 and 11. God, what'd it take to be an all-star?
A win. Subscribe to Point Forward, the podcast, so you don't miss a thing.
And we're back with Sherelle and Greg from Inside Carolina. Let's get some thoughts on Roy Williams. Look, I went to UNC 2004, 2008. Became a fan when my brother went to UNC, so around 2000. So all I know the Dean Smith teams. I followed ACC sports my whole life. So I'm very familiar with what Dean Smith did, but Roy Williams is really all I know as a fan, as a guy I've covered. He is UNC basketball to me in those teams. I mean, 05 was my freshman year, 09, 1 year out. I covered the two Final Fours in 16 and 17. So, I mean, what he's done and the players he's brought in, that's all I know. So it's just crazy. It's going to be a new era that begins next year with a new head coach. So I want to get y'all's thoughts personally on what Roy Williams has meant to this program from covering the team, as an alum, and et cetera. Sherelle.
I would say you have to go back to 2000 to really get the context for what he means to the program. Because I'm sorry if I'm taking this from you, Greg. I saw you nod. But, you know, he turned down North Carolina the first time, which he has said was one of the hardest things he's ever had to do. I think when he left Kansas was really the hardest thing he had ever had to do. But he turned it down because he was so embedded in Lawrence, Kansas. You know, that was his home. That's where he thought he was going to end his career. And then when he got a second chance at it, North Carolina's program was in a bad, bad place. I mean, you know, you talk about Max Exoduses, that there was going to be one had Matt Doherty stayed at UNC. You know, the program had gone a couple of years without winning an NCAA tournament game. Just something that Carolina fans and the program hadn't experienced in 40 years. So he comes in and, you know, to say he came in on a white horse is not exaggerating. He came in with the credentials, with the background, with the know-how of Chapel Hill and college basketball and winning. That could command the respect of players instantly. And once that happened, you know, it took a year to kind of get adjusted, but once that happened, he took off. So yeah. I've always said, like, you know, Kansas is a great school, but it's easier to recruit to Chapel Hill, I think, or you can get more players at Chapel Hill than you can at Kansas. And you saw that after he broke through with that national championship, like Greg said, Carolina went on kind of a 4-year run, you know, that is, you can put up with anything, you know, in the history of Carolina basketball from basically 06 to 09 with, you know, Tyler Hansbrough's time.
Yeah.
So the fact that he kind of rescued North Carolina's program from the depths of despair, I think is something that should really be remembered. And then he took it from that low, the lowest it had really ever been since before Coach Smith, and took it to a high that, you know, depending on who you want to argue with, that it never had. So I think that's the legacy for Roy Williams, is just how he, you know, took North Carolina to places it hadn't been and rescued it from a place it hadn't been as well.
I'm getting goosebumps thinking about some of those teams and those championships and stuff. And then, you know, you have the 05 team with those great players, you know, 19, the Hansbrough years, even after that with Kendall Marshall and Harrison Barnes, John Henson, those teams were great too. And then the Marcus Page era, Luke May. We're doing a podcast tonight as well. Tommy Ash is going to host, going to preview that here. He's doing more of a roundtable. I'm sure Sherelle and Greg will be on with some other guests, maybe Dewey Burke, hopefully any players we can get on as well. So stay tuned for that coming out, a roundtable reaction to the Roy Williams news that he's retiring. Greg, your kind of thoughts here quickly on what Roy Williams means for UNC basketball.
Yeah, I think what stands out about Roy more than anything to me is loyalty. And it kind of goes back to what Sherelle said, you know, in 2000, the fact that Roy wanted to stay at Kansas and then not thinking that he would ever have the opportunity to come back to North Carolina and knowing that he had committed to Kansas and that he was going to stay. And I think that kind of festered a little bit in terms of you go to 2008 and he's wearing the Kansas sticker, right? And fans took that personally and they took that as a shot at North Carolina, but that just kind of showcased his loyalty. And when he commits to something and it's important to him, he's going to stick with it. You know, Dean Smith really went to bat for him in getting him that Kansas job. And so he immense loyalty to Dean Smith, immense loyalty to this program, to the Carolina family, to the players. We talked earlier about the NCAA investigation. That really hurt him. And the fact that he was determined to get through that and make sure that UNC could see the other side. And I'm sure this is a very difficult decision for him. And, you know, it's a matter of he's having to tell recruits that, hey, I plan on being here. And he probably did plan on being here. But there are life decisions that have to be made, and this is one of them. So more than anything, the way that he's handled himself with respect to the program, with respect to the players, there's a reason that all these guys love him like they do. And there's a reason there's been such an outpouring already from former players and current players about kind of what he means to them. And I think we'll continue to see that in the weeks and months to come. But more than anything, that's what stands out to me. Yes, the victories, all those things are important, but just kind of his personal beliefs and strong feelings about the program and everybody involved is what kind of stands out.
Awesome. We're gonna get out of here on this. If you've noticed, you've seen Sherelle and Greg checking their phones, checking sources, players, two of the most well-connected guys with UNC basketball. And I don't know what they can share with us now, but I wanted to get y'all's thoughts on what's next, maybe the process of how this turn of power begins. We'll start with Sherelle. You know, what happens now? What's next? What do you think, in your opinion, the way that UNC could turn to lead North Carolina basketball?
I'll let Greg get more into the details. I would think that, you know, the saying that every good AD has a list in his, mm-hmm. you know, in his
five names.
Five names or whatever. I'm sure that's there. But also, I would imagine, and this is pure speculation, so please don't take this as reporting. This is speculation. I repeat, this is me editorializing speculation. I'd imagine Roy and Bubba had a conversation, you know, either last night or this morning, just about, hey, what are your thoughts about this? And, you know, where do we go from here? Whether or not that's the case, I don't know, but I would imagine that happened. And then from there, it's a question of when the hiring happens, kind of who are the people involved in the hiring? And then is it a situation where you're going for best available coach, just someone to come in and can play or can coach, or are you going for someone who is rooted in the Carolina ideology and the style of play that Carolina has become accustomed to and the things that kind of make Carolina, Carolina. So this is very much a, whatever decision the powers that be to make, this is very much a decision that will tell you kind of the trajectory of Carolina basketball moving forward. Is it going to adopt these new principles that are out there and try new things? Or is it going to just tweak a little bit and find someone who has common ground with the ideology and makeup of Carolina basketball?
Yeah, I mean, that's the million-dollar question. Do they go outside the program, or does it stay in the family, or even really close to the family with an assistant coach or someone who's played for Roy Williams? And I'm sure this news will be happening relatively soon. I mean, they got transfers. They got decisions to be made from players currently on their roster, and they got recruitments that are still going on into April and May. And they got this roster set for the 2021-22 season. Greg, how do you see this happening starting today with the change in power and in your opinion on kind of how that goes and what it could look like for UNC?
Well, I've had these conversations kind of behind the scenes for a number of years now, just because, as you noted earlier, Ross, Roy's 70. And so we knew this day was coming. And so I've always just kind of been interested. Okay, whenever he decides to step down, what is the path forward? And what I can tell you is Sherelle kind of hit on it there. It's really a matter of, okay, do you want to stay within the Carolina family or do you want to go completely different? And I think it's a middle ground. I think what you're going to see is, yes, if you can find a coach that is in the Carolina family that checks all the boxes, that's pretty much a no-brainer. However, If you look at kind of the track record right now, I don't know that there's a no-brainer in that conversation, right? And so where you have to go is say, okay, Carolina family, if you can't get that, you go to guys that maybe are not in the family, but who understand and who appreciate what the Carolina family stands for. So you're not going to be talking about somebody that comes in from an MBA factory. Like, kids being able to come to school here and have a 40-year decision, as Mac Brown likes to say, is important. And I think that's key. Where things are going to get interesting is what type of politics take place. Because there are going to be people, for sure, who want to make sure that whoever comes is a true Carolina guy. And so it's going to be up to Bubba, who's going to be running this thing, of making that decision and talking with the powers that be in terms of how he wants to approach it. I think there's a lot of options of guys who are not necessarily within the Carolina family tree, but who understand and appreciate what the Carolina family is about. Mm-hmm. I think there's a good pool there. But we're going to have to see what type of dynamics take place. Does Roy Williams want to get involved? Does he want to put his foot down? We don't know that. We don't know how he's going to approach this. And Dean Smith was pretty vocal in making his decisions about who he wanted to follow him. And that's kind of why he retired when he did, is the speculation. So a lot to play out there. I don't think, and I feel comfortable saying this, there won't be a guy that comes in who doesn't know what this program is about. I don't think you have to worry about that. We just have to determine at this point in time, is it going to be somebody with strict ties, or if there's going to be somebody on the periphery?
I think Roy Williams will definitely have a role in deciding who is his successor.
I would assume so, yes.
So whether what that really means, I'm sure he will be in the rooms making those discussions. Awesome, guys. I mean, I think this is a top two job in the country. I think it's Kentucky and North Carolina as the top two, with maybe Kansas, Duke following that, in my opinion. So they can get a lot of – there will be a lot of interest in this job. So they can make it a national search, then go to the NBA. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that want this job. It's a great place to live, a great place to raise a family, and you have a program with so many ties, so many awesome players, and the legacy and the history and all that good stuff. So it's going to be interesting to follow the next couple weeks. Stay tuned to Inside Carolina, guys. We're going to have a podcast tonight with Tommy Ashley hosting a roundtable. That should be awesome, probably a little bit longer. We wanted to hop on here and give you a briefer, even though it's hard to do a brief podcast when Sherelle and Greg on the mic, a brief podcast reacting to this news. Roy Williams retires, 3 national titles, a bunch of wins, and he steps down as UNC's head coach. Guys, remember JohnnyT-Shirt.com and Johnny T-Shirt right on Franklin Street. Enter him to rate and review and subscribe to the Inside Carolina Podcast. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!